So we turn again in Judges to chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, we're in the last two verses tonight again, finishing off this chapter. And these last two verses, as I said last week, they describe the life of the hero begun. And they are a little window into Samson's early life and what's going on in this newborn babe and this growing child. We said there are five verbs of interest. The woman bare a son. We've looked at that. We saw what that meant in the context. And then she called his name Samson, and we considered what that meant. And then we saw the child grew. The child grew. And now we come to the remaining two verbs. First of all, the Lord blessed. He's a blessed man. The Lord has blessed him. And then in verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord moved him at times. He's a moved man and a blessed man. And those are the things that we are looking at tonight. First of all then, Samson was a blessed man. He was blessed by the Lord. The Lord blessed him. And that's a wonderful thing in a man's life. If a man is blessed by God, he's a God-blessed man. And if God blesses him, as it says it does here, then no man or no devil can curse him. And the Philistines won't be able to curse him because God has blessed him. And you can't curse what God blesses. If God blesses a man, he's blessed. Balaam and Balak, you remember they found that out. Balak was so keen that Balaam cursed Israel, and he said, "Curse Israel," and Balaam wanted to do that, but he couldn't do that. He says, "I've received commandment to bless," and he says, "God has blessed them," and he says, "I cannot reverse it." Can't be reversed. If God blesses you, can't be reversed. And this is something that we want in our lives. Whenever we read verses or chapters, the next few chapters, 14 through to 16, we might be quick to criticize this hero. We might be quick to point out faults in his life. And whenever we go into those chapters, we have to guard against that. Because this is a God-blessed man. And I'm not saying he's without faults. He has his faults. But we must never forget he's blessed by the Lord. And that's the most important thing in a man's life. What's the value of life if you're not blessed? What's life all about if the Lord doesn't bless you? Life is vain without this. This is a highlight of it all. There's a whole list of things here, but this is coming to the highlight of it all. This is bringing us into the spiritual realm of this man. He's not just a natural man. He's a spiritual man. The Lord has blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord is moving in his life. We're coming now to the grace of God in this man. We're stepping from the natural to the spiritual. All men and women that come into the world are born. Samson was born. That doesn't make him any different from other men. We're all being born. And he was called something. He was given a name. And we were given a name as well. Every man's been given a name. And we've all grew. Everybody grows unless they die early. So there's nothing really spiritual about the first three things. Everybody's born. Everybody who survives birth grows. And everybody who lives long enough after they're born, even if it's only an hour or two, are called. They're given a name. They're given a name. So that's natural. And that's quite normal. But here now is something spiritual. The Lord blessed them. And how many are blessed in this world? Everybody in the world has been born. Everybody in the world has got a name. Everybody in the world has grown. But only God's people have been blessed. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. The greatest blessing of all is salvation, and it belongs to the Lord, and that blessing is on His people. The Lord blessed Samson. He blessed him with salvation. He blessed him with grace. He blessed him because He loved him. Christ's rejecters can have always the first three, born, called, grow. But they're like the beasts that perish. They're not blessed. In their Christ rejection, they very often prosper. In their Christ rejection, they very often grow and get fat in the world. But they're like the beasts that perish. They're like those that are fattened up for the slaughter. They're not blessed. Do you remember how the psalmist said, I saw the prosperity of the wicked? There are no bonds in their death. He says their strength is firm. He says very often they're not in trouble. They're not in trouble like other men. But they're not blessed. They're not blessed. They're not plagued like other men, David said in Psalm 73. He says they're surrounded. They're surrounded by pride. And their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than hearts can wish. But they're not blessed. They're not blessed. They have everything. But they're not blessed. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly. They speak proud. They set their mouths against their heaven. And they say, how does God know? And so these are the ungodly that he describes in Psalm 73, who prosper in this world. They increase in riches, but they're not blessed. They're not blessed. They're only going to die and go to hell. They have everything, but they're not blessed. But you see Samson? He's blessed. And David, in that psalm, he's blessed. He has all his problems, but he's a blessed man. He goes into the house of God. He's blessed. Because he goes into the house of God, he's a blessed man. He understands the end of the wicked. He sees that God had set them in slippery places and cast them down to destruction. David's blessed with all his troubles. He knows where to go. He thinks the truth. He knows the truth. He knows the end of the wicked. He knows the Lord. He's blessed. He's blessed. You see, you're not blessed unless you know and love the Blessed One. And Samson does. Samson belongs to the blessed people. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. The Lord blessed them. He knows the joyful sound. They walk in the light of thy countenance, O Lord. They're blessed. Remember Paul, whenever he was writing about David? He describes the greatest blessedness of all. In Romans chapter 4, David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The Lord blessed him. Samson has that. The blessing of God that maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow to it. The blessing of the forgiveness of sins. Every Christian has that. Every Christian is blessed. Blessed. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And so this brings us into the realm of the spiritual, where Samson belongs to the Lord, where he's blessed by God. It makes him different from the Philistines. The Philistines were born. The Philistines got names. The Philistines grew. In fact, they grew stronger than Israel. But the Philistines weren't blessed. Samson is blessed. And brethren and sisters, we who are God's people, we've been blessed. We've been blessed by God. We've been blessed with the Bible. We've been blessed with faith. We've been blessed with spiritual sight, with eyes to see and ears to hear. We've been blessed with spiritual desires. We've been blessed by thy coming into God's house. You remember how Jesus said to Peter, he says, Blessed are you, Simon. You're blessed. Because flesh and blood hasn't revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, Peter, you know that I'm the Son of God. You know that I've come from the Father and I go to the Father. You know it because, not because flesh and blood taught it to you in the Sunday school, but you know it because my Father revealed it to you. You see, blessed are you. You're blessed. The Lord blessed him. And the Lord has blessed us. You remember every one of us, the Lord says, blessed. Blessed are your eyes for the see. And blessed are your ears for the hear. Do you remember how Thomas didn't believe after the resurrection? And then he saw the Lord's wounds and his wounded side and all the rest. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. But blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. We have faith. We have faith in Jesus. Why do we have faith in Jesus? Because the Lord has blessed us. That's why. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. His blessing is on his people. And Samson belongs to the people of God. Remember that. Remember that when he goes down to Timnath. Remember that when he goes down to Timnath and sees a woman there and desires to marry her. Remember this. Don't forget this. He's blessed. It means that God is watching over this man. It means that God is going to preserve this man until he has done his work for him. It means that everything is going to work out for good in his life, in God's providence. Even when he makes mistakes, the circumstances and the providence is all going to fall into place because the Lord is blessing this man. He's blessing him. That means he's going to be fruitful and grow. It means he's going to have the Spirit of God in his life because he's blessed. He's blessed. So this blessed brings Samson into the realm of the Spirit. From the natural to the spiritual. This makes him different from everybody else. That's what makes us different from everybody else. God's blessing. If you haven't got God's blessing, you've got nothing. The Lord blessed him. We trust that Samson will bless the Lord. A man who God blesses should bless the Lord. And we're going into chapters 14 through to 16. And we trust we're going to see a man who'll bless God. A man who will show the blessing of God and give thanks for the blessing of God in his life and who will live a life of blessing. That's what we expect to see when we go into these chapters. But the blessing of the Lord certainly leads to the next thing. Verse 25. Not only is he a blessed man, he's a moved man. He's a moved man. You see what it says there in verse 25? The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. In the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now we see that the blessed man has someone special in his life. If the Lord has blessed you, you'll have someone special in your life. And that one is the Spirit of the Lord. He's the Spirit of the Lord in his life. He's led of the Spirit. He's moved of the Holy Ghost. He's a man who has the Spirit surrounding him, compassing him about, and operating in his life and in his heart. He's someone operating in his heart. He's someone moving him on. He's blessed because he has the Holy Spirit in his life. He has the blessed third person of the Trinity called here the Spirit of the Lord. Now Samson, with all his faults, is the man in Judges who has the Holy Spirit working in him nightly. Seven times in the book of Judges we read of the Spirit of the Lord. We should study all of those places. We won't do it tonight. But seven times we read of the Spirit of the Lord in this book. We read of him in the life of the younger brother of Caleb, a man called Othniel. In chapter 3, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel. We read about him in Gideon's life. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Chapter 6, he blew a trumpet when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then in chapter 11, we read of a man called Jephthah. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And now we read of the Spirit of the Lord moving Samson. So, three times of others, Othniel, Jephthah, and Gideon, three times. But now we read, I said there are seven times we read of the Spirit of the Lord. Four times we read of him in Samson's life. He's a man of the Spirit. He came on Gideon once. He came on Othniel once. He came on Jephthah once. But he began to move Samson many times. Moved him at times, different times, many times. And then we read of him, the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him on other occasions. In chapter 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And it brings in a word there that it never brings in before in the book of Judges. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Chapter 14, verse 6. And then in chapter 14, verse 19, we read, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then in chapter 15, verse 14, we read again, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. So here's a man, four times. Very distinctively we read, four times the Spirit of God is operating in his life. And two of those times we read, he mightily is operating in his life. Here's a man of the Spirit. Here's a man who knows what it is for the Holy Ghost to be working in his body and in his frame and in his heart. Here's a man endued and empowered. And you will notice in our text there in chapter 13 at the end, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. It doesn't say at one time. It doesn't say the Spirit of the Lord just began to move him. No, he began to move him at times. He came to him one day and he came to him another day. And there was another day he came to him. He's working in him at different times. This man's alive. This man's blessed with God. This man's in fellowship with the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is operating in him different times. He's mighty for God. And so we need to remember that whenever we're going to poke all the faults in him. We have to look why he's doing that. Is it because of fault, or is it because the Spirit of the Lord is doing this? So Samson has these frequent endowments, these frequent visitations of the Holy Ghost, times being moved. And brethren and sisters, it's not enough to have the Spirit of the Lord operating in your heart once. It's not enough to have Him operating once. Oh, you know, 25 years ago, I had this movement of the Spirit. I came to Christ. It's not enough. You need to know more and more of the movement of the Holy Ghost. There needs to be times of His operating in your life. You need to be a man led by the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit, under the constant operations of the Holy Ghost, with the surgical instrument of His Holy Word. The Spirit of the Lord needs to keep on moving us, keep on working in us and working through us. If He ceases, we cease to be a blessing. If He ceases, we cease being fruitful. If He ceases, we cease being useful for God. David knew the importance of the Spirit of God in his life. Remember how he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Oh, don't take him away. Don't let me cease feeling his movements in my heart. Don't let me cease feeling His operations in my life. Don't let me cease feeling His hand urging me on and pushing me on in the things of God. Don't take Your Spirit away, Lord. Don't take Your Spirit away. David knew the importance of the Spirit of God. And the New Testament teaches us the importance of the Spirit of God, the importance of not grieving Him, the importance of not quenching Him, the terrible folly of resisting Him and vexing Him. The New Testament teaches us about these things again and again. It's the greatest folly any of us could ever commit, the folly of grieving the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we need Him. We'll never know this movement without Him. We'll never know it. We can't move ourselves. We can't work in our own hearts. This is the only one who does it, the Spirit of the Lord. We need Him in the church. We can't grieve Him. We can't quench Him. So He dwells with saints. And of course, He never leaves His people. But He can withhold and suspend His operations. He can cease His motions. He can stop His movements. And when we sin and grieve Him, He does. In fact, I would be so bold as to suggest that that is the reason the church in the United Kingdom is in the state that it's in. God's people are so little knowing and experiencing these powerful operations, which alone make us mighty men and women of God. And the church is weak and feeble if it is not knowing the powerful, mighty operations of the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is not mightily coming upon us, we are weak and feeble. We're weak and feeble, we're powerless. And really we are. There are no Samsons among us. There are few tarrying for the real power. Instead, the church is busy making new man-made charts and devices and trying to impact society with all these newfangled devices. It's not the answer. The only answer is a mighty endowment. The only answer is waiting for the real power, tarrying for the visitations of the Holy Ghost. It's the only answer. And the sooner the church realizes it and discovers it and gets back to the basics, there'll be no Samsons. The only answer is a Spirit-endued man. What really interests us is what the Spirit is actually doing in Samson's life. And the important word is the word move. He began to move him. That's what the Spirit's doing in his heart. That's what the Spirit's work is to do. What does the Spirit do? He moves. Do you remember where we first read of the Spirit of the Lord in the Bible? Where do we first read of the Spirit of the Lord in the Bible? In creation. In the book of Genesis. And God had made the world. And there was a whole mass. And there was plenty of water. But you know, it needed something. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move. He began to move on the face of the waters. That made the difference. That brought organization and life to the chaos of just the mass of creation. The Spirit of the Lord began to move and to bring order, to bring power and life into the fabric of the universe. How is there life and order here? It's because the Spirit of the Lord moved. He moved on the matter. He moved on the material. And we need Him to move in us. We're just dead in here. There's just matter and material in our hearts. There's just something the Holy Spirit can use. But He has to come upon us. And He has to move on our hearts in order for it to be used. And Samson's going to be used, I can tell you. And why is he going to be used? Because the Spirit of the Lord is moving him. When he goes down to Timnah, Spirit of the Lord's moving him.
is moving him.
So this is the Spirit's work, to move. He's a goer. He's a mover. He gets things done. The Holy Spirit gets things done. Now, the verse, Genesis, when the Spirit of the Lord began to move, it's not the same verb. It's the same English word that's used to translate it, but it's not the same Hebrew verb. This Hebrew verb in Judges 13, verse 25, is very interesting. It only occurs 5 times in the whole Bible. Just 5 times. It shows the powerful hands-on action of the Spirit of God in a man's life. Just banging away at him. He has his hands on Samson. And Samson's going to be different. When the Spirit moves you, you're different. When the Spirit gets his hands on you, you're different. You stand out different. And people will know you're different. They'll know you're not like anybody else. When the Spirit of the Lord gets his hands on you. Everybody knew Samson was different. Everybody knew there's something happening in that man's life. It was a noticeable thing. And we'll see how noticeable it was. I tell you, the Philistines are going to notice it. They're going to see what a Spirit-endued man is like. They're going to notice it. And Israel's going to notice it. Israel's going to notice it. Samson wasn't just the ordinary kind of street kid in the street. He wasn't the ordinary kid in the school, I can tell you. He was different. Not just because he had long hair, and he didn't eat certain kinds of food, and he never touched the grape. Yeah, externally he was different, that's true. But there's something else makes him different. He's different in here, because he's being pushed and shoved by the Spirit of God the way other men are not. He's different. His movements were different. He wasn't the ordinary Hebrew. He is a Spirit-moved Hebrew. Now, when the Spirit of the Lord was departed from him, and that did happen once in his life. There was once in his life when the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And when he departed from him, I tell you this, everybody knew. Everybody knew the Spirit had left him. And he soon found out as well, the Spirit had gone. When the Spirit goes, you know it. And when the Spirit goes out of a man's life, you'll see it. It's visible, it's obvious. He's no power. As I said, the particular verb here, move, only occurs 5 times in the Old Testament. It is a very interesting word. The word anvil, as I said, Hebrew words are very interesting. Basic Hebrew word is just 3 consonants. The vowels change, and the consonants you recognize. It could be a verb, it could be a noun, it could be a couple of nouns, because the vowels are changing. But you see the consonant. The consonants staying regular and the same. And this word anvil is made up of the same consonants. And you know what an anvil is? How's an anvil connected with the word move? Well, what happens on an anvil? What happens on an anvil is there's a constant banging. And there's a bit of metal on the anvil. It's being shaped, constant banging, being shaped. And this word move is a word that describes that bang. The word is pam, 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 pam. He's a man who has feeling the hand of God in his life. God is bothering him. Pam, pam. Pam, pam. God is battering his heart. Pam, pam. He's being moved by that molding, battering hand of God. His heart is like metal, and God's hand is going down on it, molding it, and breaking it, and shaping it. Pam, pam, pam. That's what's happening in Samson's life. He's feeling this pounding, this constant banging. By the Holy Spirit. The word is normally translated troubled. Troubled. I tell you, whenever you feel a pam, you're troubled. Whenever you feel the banging hand of God, you're troubled. You're troubled. And one of the greatest things the Spirit of God does is He troubles us. He batters our heart and He troubles us. He did this early on in our lives when He convicted us of sin. We didn't have any concern, but He banged at us and He convicted us of our sin. And we were troubled. We were moved to repent of sin. We were moved to hate sin. We were moved to turn away from sin because He battered us and banged us and moved us. And that's what sinners need. They need the banging hand of God. They need old-fashioned conviction of sin. They need the Spirit of the Lord to come with the Word and bang, bang, bang their hearts. And sinners are not being converted because that is not happening. They're being tickled. Or they're being amused. Or they're being given some social gospel that tickles her under the arms, but it doesn't bang their hearts. It doesn't move them to repentance and to hate sin and to flee it and forsake it all. But I tell you, this man, he's a troubled man. God has troubled him. He's banged at his heart. He has moved him. I'll give you some examples of this verb. The psalmist said, I am so troubled. I cannot speak. I cannot speak. In the ancient times, the anvil was made of stone. And our hearts by nature are just stony hearts. But the Spirit of the Lord beats upon it. He beats upon it. With the hammer of His Word, He beats upon it. He troubles us, and He moves us, and He leads us, and He breaks us, and He melts us, and He bends us. And brethren and sisters, we are nothing unless we are having those operations of the Holy Ghost in our heart. Nothing. We are nothing if we are getting harder and harder and harder. What was Samson being pounded about? What was Samson being troubled about? Why was this young lad not able to grow up like an ordinary Hebrew? Why was the Spirit of the Lord pounding him and troubling him? Because this man had a work to do. He had a work to do. And he was being troubled about things by the Spirit of God. And the question is, and need I ask you what the question is? The question is, what's he troubled about? You know what he's been troubled about. It's all over chapters 13 through to 16. He's troubled about the Philistines. That's what he's troubled about. He's been raised up to be a deliverer from the Philistines. Israel's delivered into the hand of the Philistines. And the Spirit of the Lord is forging this man and preparing this man. And he's being moved and troubled about the Philistines, about the enemies of God. That's what's been troubled about. That's what his whole life is going to center around. That's what his whole work is going to be about. Overcoming the Philistines. Removing this plague from the land. The Spirit of the Lord is preparing him for that. And forging him and moving him. He's troubled about the Philistines. He's troubled about Israel's bondage. He's troubled about their subjection to the enemies of God. He cures. He's concerned. He's troubled. He's burdened about it. Because this Balaam in his life, he's moved that he might subdue them. He's moved that he might get into the battle against them. He's moved that God's enemies would be all brought down. That's always the first sign of the Spirit working in sinners. He begins to trouble them about the Philistines in their life, about the sin.
about the sin in their life. That's what sinners need. They need to be troubled about their sin. That's what the Spirit does in His people. He troubles us to oppose sin. He troubles us to oppose all the Philistines that come into our flesh. The lust of the flesh. We're always fighting the lust of the flesh. We're always battling the Philistines. They're always around us and attacking us and subduing us and trying to bring us down. That's what the Philistines are a picture of. They're a picture of the flesh. They're uncircumcised Philistines. The picture of the flesh. And the man of God has to be wrought upon by the Spirit that he may continually be subduing the Philistines. So continually overcoming the flesh. He must be continually convicted of his sin. Continually convicted of the inclinations of his heart. He must continually be battling over his anger, over the addictions, over everything in his life that God opposes and is a contrary to God. He's a battler because the Spirit of God won't let him rest. He can't rest with sin. He can't rest with the Philistines. The Spirit of the Lord won't let him rest. No Christian can rest with sin because he has the Holy Ghost in his life. And the Holy Ghost will batter his heart until his sins go. And every thought is brought into captivity until the mind of Jesus Christ. The child of God is a soldier. He's a battler. He's a warrior. And he needs to have the might that Samson had. And so that's what the Spirit does in his people. He convicts about the Philistines in our lives. And bangs away till we oppose sin. And God's enemies with all our heart and with all our might. Bangs away till we are zealous and fervent for uprightness and truth. He bangs away till we oppose everything that is opposed to Jesus Christ. He bangs away so that we will fight. He bangs away so that we will find occasions against the Philistines. He's in the camp of Dan, the text tells us. There is the town of Zorah, and there is the town of Eshtaol, but he is being moved in the camp of Dan, between these two places. Israel is on a war setting. Israel is in a battle. Israel is in a conflict. Israel is in a situation of siege. It has to be in the camp, the fortress. Where the soldiers are, where the protectors of the Hebrews are found, that's where he is. He's in the thick of the battle. He's in the camp. He's in the army. Samson grows and develops in that war setting, in the camp. The Spirit of the Lord is molding a warrior. And the Spirit of the Lord makes us battlers. Brethren and sisters, the Spirit of the Lord does not make us compromisers. He does not make us huggers of the ungodly and the wicked ways. He does not make us placators of unrighteousness and of the unrighteous. He does not make us man pleasers. He doesn't. He makes us warriors and battlers. He makes us to be in the camp fighting the Lord's battles. That's what the Spirit of the Lord makes us. He doesn't make us wimps. He just go and run at every sign of badness. No. He makes us to fight injustice and unrighteousness and sin. Especially in our own hearts. And in our own lives. That's what the Spirit of the Lord moves us to do. And why does He do that? Because He is the Holy Spirit. That's why.